On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Caps make some big moves in free agency, draft a Walker, and could Tom Wilson miss the beginning of the regular season? All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. What's going on? There's been money flying all over the place. We got new Caps coming in. We got new draftees. We've got new Capitals, former Penguins. We got a lot going on. We got a new GM kind of peeing all over the place, marking his territory. But joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
Good. Let's roll right into this. Free agency started. I was wondering what this new GM was going to do. Was he going to make a big splash? Was he going to sign big guys? Was he going to change this team around? And then we come out of the first day of free agency, and we got two former Penguins and a new new backup goaltender. But the big news here is those two former Penguins, man, they got very un-George McPhee-like contracts because they're lots of money and long years.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't... The issue isn't so much the years, especially when it comes to one of the signings in Matt Niskanen. He got 7 years at $40.25 million, so that comes out to a cap hit of about $5.75 million, which is a very sizable cap hit. However, Niskanen's only 27, so it's not that bad. I'm happy with that signing. Yes, it is a very un-George McPhee-like move in signing a defenseman for 7 years. But the fact that he's only 27, he'll be 34 by the end of his deal. It's not the end of the world. As long as he can keep up the skills that he has, and you know he's coming right into about his prime. So as long as he can keep up with the skills, I think this is actually a very good signing. Now, interestingly enough, he's more of a puck-moving defenseman. So you have him and Carlson and Green and Orlov. That's four puck-moving defensemen. It makes you wonder if somebody's going to be on the way out. The other deal.
Before we do that, I've heard Green's name come up a lot about a guy who's possibly being shopped around. But also, you got to think about. I mean, this isn't long term, so it's not really like that 7 year deal was made because of this. But Orlov, there's a good chance that he's going to miss the first month or so of the season. So
yeah, pink eye again.
Remember, I think it was in his wrist. He broke his wrist at Worlds.
Right.
So there's a good chance he'll miss training camp in the first 2 months of the regular season. Now, I'm not saying they're bringing this guy and giving him all this money because of that. But if you're bringing in a guy who's going to like move the puck, you got to think about the fact you're not going to have Orlov for a couple months.
Well, yeah, but not. I mean, if you're going to do that, worry about that. You just use Connor Carrick or one of those guys. Or I mean, Patrick Waite's not as much a puck mover, but you can definitely put him in or Schilling or Schmidt or one of those guys. If Orlov's going to miss a little bit of time. But, you know, this is definitely a big deal. I like the Niskanen signing. You know, he's not the stay-at-home defenseman that you want that's around 27 years old. But, you know, it's still a very good deal, and it's you know, it's definitely one that I'm happy that McClellan made. The other one, not so much.
Yeah, we've got Brooks Orpik coming in, which was when this happened, man, Twitter just blew up, and it was nothing nice to say about this guy. I saw a lot of sighs. I saw a lot of, you can't believe this. Can we?
Well, it wasn't so much that it was Orpik. It's that he's going to be 34 in September. So he's 33 at the moment. He got a 5-year deal. So he'll be 38, turning 39 by the time this contract is up. 5 years at $27.5 million. That cap hit comes out to $5.5 million. So when he's 37, in the last year of his deal, or 36 in the last, I'm sorry, 37, 38 in the last year of his deal, he's going to be having a cap at a $5.5 million. This is a defensive defenseman. Orpik is a guy who sits back there, plays the body. He's very physical, which is the kind of defenseman you want on the team. The problem is that when he's going to be 37, 38, is he going to be able to play at that same level that he is, where he's earning $5.5 million? I highly doubt that's the case. So while the Caps may not regret this deal over the next year or two, you're going to start to wonder in year 3, 4, and 5 if Orpik somehow is still on the team, if they've made a gigantic mistake.
I mean, that is definitely a giant contract for a guy that old.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw that much money and a 5-year contract. I'm a little worried about this guy because if you look at a lot of his stats, the dude is constantly injured, and we already have a guy who's constantly injured in Mike Green. So this guy,
they can hang out together.
They can hang out together in the rehab facility as they're doing their exercises, get their muscles back in order. But also, this guy is kind of a goon. Who's roughed some people up before.
You need a little bit of a goon now and then.
Well, absolutely. I absolutely agree. You do.
We have that in John Erskine, except for the fact that Erskine forgot that he's supposed to play that role. Just kind of a problem.
Right, yeah. But I like having a goon. I like having a guy who's not afraid to drop the mitts. But I also don't want a guy who's going to get suspended every 2 seconds for an illegal hit or trying to hurt somebody. And he kind of has that reputation of doing that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see now that he doesn't have that get-out-of-jail-free card and wearing a Pittsburgh Penguins sweater. So we'll see if he does some of the similar stuff, if he's going to get himself in trouble now that he's wearing a cap sweater. But, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have him on the team because he's definitely an upgrade over Erskine by a lot. But 5 years for $27.5 million, it baffles my mind that McClellan couldn't go, you know what, maybe this isn't a good deal for us. If you go and you look – I like to use capgeek.com to be able to look at the cap situation for a lot of teams. There are some teams that are going to have to trade some decent talent to be able to get under the cap. So what they need to do is I don't understand why they didn't go out and be able to go out and acquire a few guys in teams that are looking to trade some sizable contracts. If you remember when the Blackhawks won their first Stanley Cup a couple of years ago and they traded – this is when the Caps acquired Brouwer and Dustin Byfuglien made his way to Atlanta – oddly enough, and there's a couple other trades that were made. It was Chicago had won the cup and they had to dump a bunch of contracts. Why the Caps didn't take advantage of this situation where Chicago again and Philadelphia are in a cap situation as well as the Boston Bruins. You could have gone out and potentially acquired somebody that could play a similar style to Orpik. You didn't even need someone to come in at Orpik's level because you can Niskanen can fill in the top four role. You needed a defensive partner for Orlov. So why not go out and acquire a guy that's going to be significantly cheaper and leave yourself a little more cap space because they still have a gigantic hole in the second line of their team.
This whole deal really just has me confused. I really don't know how to take it. I feel good because Brooks Orpik can be a good player. Maybe he does want a fresh start. He is a 2-time Olympian. I mean, I don't know how he was this past year. But, he does have a relationship with John Carlson because of their time in Sochi. So that could be a reason. Maybe John Carlson was asked what kind of player he is. But from what I also hear from our GM is the fact that they brought him in on that price tag and everything due to Orpik's reputation for being a leader in the locker room. Now, we've talked about this many times about how Ovechkin is the captain of this team, but he isn't going to be somebody who is going to rally the troops and give those inspirational speeches that you see in movies. Do you think Brooks Orpik can kind of fill that role, and is that leadership role worth that amount of money?
Not at the age he's at. No. I don't care. If he comes in, he's a leadership guy, great, but not for 5 years at 27. I mean, okay, you want to give Orpik a 5-year deal, then the cap needs to come out to something manageable, like somewhere between 2.5 and 3, or 3.5. But to give him 5.5, unless the cap ceiling goes up substantially towards the end of his contract, the team is going to be in some trouble. Because if you go and you look at the roster the way it is right now on CapGeek and seeing the guys are going to have to be re-signing, currently, they have almost $29 million wrapped up in 8 defensemen. Now, Erskine's probably going to be gone. Maybe also Jack Hill, and that'll free up $2 million in change. So that's always a possibility, free up a little bit more cap space. But they also have a little over $36 million wrapped up in their forwards. Next season, they have to re-sign Braden Holtby, who's probably going to get a pretty big raise from his $1.85 million. You're going to have to re-sign Mike Green if you don't trade him or even choose to re-sign him. You're also going to have to re-sign Yevgeny Kuznetsov, who's probably going to have a significant raise. Marcus Johansson is going to be a restricted free agent. You got to re-sign him if you keep him around. If you decide to hang on to Joel Ward and Jay Beagle and Eric Fair and Aaron Volpatti, just kidding about the last one. They're going to have some problems going forward in regards to re-signing these guys. If they were smart about it, they would have used one of their buyouts or amnesty buyouts or whatever they want to call it, to get rid of some serious salary, and either Brooks like, and they could have signed Brooks or Pick. That way they still would have had the Brooks ratio working out for them. They could have bought out Brooks Like or Mike Green to free up a significant amount of cap space, but they chose not to. That thing is gone. They are unable to do that anymore. So they are going to have some serious salary cap problems in the near future. So my guess is before we see the puck drop in what preseason in September or the regular season in October, that someone that is a relative big name on this team is going to be traded away. And John Erskine doesn't count.
Well, I mean, they could definitely do some more moves. And before that, the Caps preseason game, which is 80 days away from today, July 2nd, they do have some more moves to make. But maybe this Brooks Orpik thing was just, you know, maybe he was thinking down the road, well, this is the NHL. We're probably going to have another lockout in like a year or two. So
I was
I'll just
thinking that the other day.
I'll just buy him out later on down the road. So, I mean, maybe they'll do something like that. But let's talk real quick about a move that I don't think a lot of people weren't really shocked about, but Mikhail Grabowski did move on to maybe greener pastures for him, but he left the Capitals. He is not coming back. What is your feeling on the fact that we used all this money on Brooks Orpik? Why couldn't we spend a little bit more cash to keep Mikhail Grabowski in D.C.? Do you think he was just asking for too much, or do you really think that these guys are okay with just using, you know, Brooks Like, Marcus Johansson, Yevgeny Kuznetsov at the second center?
Well, if Kuznetsov is their plan for a second-line center, I mean, that's probably their best bet right now since that kid's got the most talent of between him and Like and Johansson. In regards to what – I mean, Grabowski, the thing is he wanted to play with Nikolai Koloman, and they both got that with both of them signing with the Islanders. Grabowski got 4 years at a cap at a $5 million. Koloman got 4 years for a total of $16.75 million. So he got $4 million and change in his cap. The Caps could not afford to hang on to both guys. And I'm wondering if that was part of the problem. Grabowski said, if you sign me, you have to sign Koloman. The Caps probably said no because they had no place for Koloman on this roster. So if that was the case, then Grabowski was likely gone either way. In regards to Grabowski, you know, him over or choosing Orpik over Grabowski, I mean, this team's defense was a freaking nightmare last season. That was the biggest thing they needed to go out and do. And technically, McClellan went out and fixed the defense. He did the one thing that George McPhee did not do. He made significant moves in the offseason to fix this defense. And I'm happy that he did that. I'm not particularly pleased with one of the signings, but at least he's making an attempt to do what he needs to do in fixing the defense. Kuznetsov could be the second-line center this team has been looking for, and if that's the case, that's certainly awesome. I don't know who's going to play on the first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, especially since it sounds like Ovechkin is going to be moving back over to the right wing under head coach Barry Trotz. So it's going to be interesting. They still have an opportunity to go. They don't have a lot of cap space left. They have something like 1 point nothing in cap space. They have like barely any cap space, a little over a million. If now, you know, if they go out and they get rid of Erskine and Hillin and drop Volpatti, that frees up, you know, $3 million or something in cap space. So that's not bad. But we'll see what happens with those going forward. But right now, I mean, my guess, if you want Kuznetsov on the first line, then my guess is if he can stay healthy, Brooks Like is your second line center between Johansson and Troy Brouwer. That would be my guess right now. But we'll, I mean, they didn't have the money or the cap space right now to re-sign Grabowski, and they didn't have the roster space to bring his buddy along. So it's sort of – it's sad to see Grabowski go. I definitely liked him on this team, but he was only here for a season, and you know, he wanted more money than I think in general than McClellan would have wanted to give him.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. And like you said, there could be a lot of guys heading out of town, but one signing that I think was pretty well-liked overall was the fact that we brought back Michael Lotta. I was happy about that. I like Lotta a lot. I gave him my Rookie of the Year award for the What the Puck Awards this year, so I'm happy he's there, but you got to think, I mean, for a guy, Michael Lotta, that can't be a good sign for like Aaron Volpatti and even possibly Jay Beagle, who Beagle did not get a lot of time when Lotta was in town at the beginning of last season.
I feel like Beagle's going to be a Trotz guy.
I would like that. I mean, I like
I think that's going to be the case. I think, honestly, I would not be surprised to see a third line. I don't know how they're going to do this because I'm not even going to look at the roster because it's just going to give me a headache. But if they have something like, what was the guy's name? Chris Brown with Beagle and Lotta. Mm-hmm. If they move someone out and find a way to put Wilson up on a – provided he's playing – to move Wilson up on a higher line, I wouldn't be surprised to see a fourth line of a bunch of hardworking, gritty guys that, you know, maybe could potentially every once in a while put the puck in the back of the net. But a defensive fourth line of Brown, Beagle, and Lotta. I think that's going to be very interesting to go into the into training camp to see how Beagle does because I really do think he's going to end up being one of Trotz's guys.
I mean, if he's anything like Dale Hunter, he likes those offensive guys that still have a lot of defense on them. And Jay Beagle's going to be that type of guy. He's not going to be a big goal scorer. But, hey, who knows? He might actually end up on a line with Ovechkin as well. You never know with this team.
Crazier things have, in fact, happened.
let's talk about Tom Wilson. News broke today that he injured his ankle, and supposedly it was because he fell off a skateboard, but that apparently also was just a Twitter rumor, and that got squashed. But there is a chance that Tom Wilson, he's seeing a doctor tomorrow in Toronto, but he may miss the beginning of the season, so that can't be good for such a young guy, especially for a guy that the GM has specifically said, I want to see him on the ice more often. Here he is now with a hurt ankle, possibly an injured ankle that we don't know.
Possibly broken.
We don't know the extent of that injury, but not a good start for Tom Wilson.
No, especially for a team that was looking to push him up to get more minutes and potentially a higher line. For him to be missing the beginning of the season is definitely – but we saw what happened last year with Dmitry Orlov, where he looked like he was going to make his mark on this team, and then he got hurt and – you know, didn't recover really until towards the end of the season with being able to play consistently with the Capitals. So to see this happen to Tom Wilson is definitely bad. I think the Caps definitely need him going forward. And he needs to get healthy as quickly as possible. Hopefully he's not a broken ankle, but, you know, we'll find out over the next couple of days what happened to Tom Wilson. If he's out, you know, you're going to have guys like Lotta and Brown, and if it has to be Volpatti, step up and play well for this team until he's ready to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So
although I don't even know where you put him on the right wing. All right, Ovechkin's entrenched in the first line, no question about that. Then you got Brouwer. So is it Ward or Wilson that's going to be on the third line? And Ward's probably a Trotz guy because they played together. He coached him in Nashville. Yeah, so it might be a situation where Wilson's just going to get more minutes on the fourth line. Like, I have no idea.
Possibly. I got to assume that due to last year that you're going to want to keep Ward and Chimera together because they did such a good job last year. They gelled so well together. You're not going to want to mess with that because I don't think that was an Adam Oates thing. I just think it was these two guys working well together. I think it's kind of like Alsner and Carlson almost, but on offense.
It's just, I don't know. Last season was just a cluster, you know what?
You just want to forget it.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about? What season? Never happened.
The lockout season, you mean?
A mess in regards to these guys. They were not on the same page at all. And so to hear the things that Trotz and McClellan are saying and how they've been working together is exactly what you want to hear, to see that they're working as a team, which is sort of key when you're running an organization like this. So to see that these guys are working together, I definitely think that Trotz was involved in these deals. If anything, he's got to be excited because Nashville never really went out and spent a lot on guys, although they've done pretty well this offseason. They almost had Jason Spezza, which would have been pretty freaking crazy for them. But, you know, if I'm Trotz, I'm excited about these deals. They definitely have some interesting lines to potentially go with. I know that McClellan came out when talking about Niskanen and Orpik, was talking about potentially pairing Orpik up with Carlson and then Niskanen with Alsner. So maybe that'll work. I don't know. But it'll be interesting. You know, they may break up the Carl Alsner, John Carlson pairing, or, you know, guy love between the two of them. If we're going to do a Scrubs reference. Having these guys together. But, you know, the question is, who does Orlov play with? Guess it's Mike Green? I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with these guys going forward. But the defense is definitely, and the team in general, is substantially better than they were last season, even though they have quite the hole in the second line center spot.
Yeah, there's definitely some more stuff they got to work out. The other two guys we got to talk about that the Caps signed was Justin Peters. He's going to be our new backup goaltender. I mean, that's a pretty good signing.
He
was cheap, and he kind of knows his place. I feel as if they are definitely establishing Holtby is our guy. This is a guy that's going to play 20 or so games as long as everybody's healthy behind Holtby. But going forward, Holtby is our guy. He's the one that is going to be our first choice most nights, and this guy's going to back him up. And he has proven himself pretty well in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a backup. I think it was McClellan came out and said that by making this signing, we were sending a message to Braden Holtby that he's our number one guy, which is definitely different than he's experienced his entire time with the Washington Capitals up until now. So I think that's definitely a sign for Holtby that he's the number one guy. I think Peters wasn't my first choice to be the team's backup, but it's definitely a good signing because, you know, he'll play a decent amount throughout the season, but he's a guy that expects to be the backup. He's not expecting to come in and fight for that number one spot like you may have had with Thomas Wacoon or Ilya Bryzgalov or Nabokov, even though Nabokov went somewhere else, or any of these guys. You know, this is definitely a sign that Holtby's the number one guy. right now and for this team, and I think that was a good thing. I like the Peters signing, and especially the fact that it's only 2 years at $1.9 million. I mean, his cap it comes out to under $1 million, so it's for a team that's going to be as cash strapped as they are in terms of their cap hit, it definitely was a very good signing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that there was our first one kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
At one point, I was going to be like, "We're only going to sign a goalie today." I was like, "God damn it!"
Little did you know.
Sign a defense? No, not Orpik. I went from like annoyed to like, "Oh, we signed Orpik. All right, that's not terrible." Oh crap! Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was one of those things. But yeah, no, I mean it's a silly season. But yeah, Peters is a good signing. Niskanen was a good signing. Orpik.
Time will tell.
Yeah, well, it's all we got.
And the last signing was the Capitals signed Chris Connor, who he's a former Pittsburgh Penguin. He's kind of bounced around to a couple different teams, but seems like he's going to kind of be up and down between Hershey and the Capitals.
Or just staying in Hershey.
Just staying in Hershey for most
of the time. I mean, you never know. Connor's, you know, he came to a couple of games with the Penguins before, and so he could always come in and fill in on the fourth line. But I think they have enough guys in Brown and Lotta, if they're not with the Caps at the start of the season, to be able to come in and fill into those spots. They also signed defenseman John Landry and Mike Moore. These guys were Hershey.
More Hershey.
You know, if you go to a Bears game, you're like, oh, that's what they were talking about. But yeah, these guys, I highly doubt that they'll be playing for the Caps anytime soon, especially with all the defensemen that they have in the minors and Schmidt, Schilling, Way, Carrick, just a whole truckload of dudes that are probably in front of Landry and Moore at this point in the pecking order.
Yeah, so pretty busy day. We're still going to talk a little bit more Capitals here. Now we can actually go back almost a week and talk about what happened in the draft. The Capitals picked overall at number 13, and they went with a winger who's, I believe, what was his name? Verana? I think it was Verana.
They selected forward Jakub. I think it's Jakub. It's J-A-K-U-B, but that always somehow sounds like Jakub. Jakub Verana with the 13th overall pick. Now, word was they actually wanted to move up to snag defenseman Hayden Fleury, who was actually ended up being taken by Carolina. But I think that was the person that McClellan really wanted, but he couldn't end up getting him. I like the pickup of Verana. Now, the comparisons are not always accurate, but he's being compared to Marian Gaborik, which if he ends up being that, I'm perfectly fine with it. He, I believe, has been skating at Kettler after he got picked and is supposed to be a developmental camp. So that's definitely a name to watch out for in the draft. But yeah, I think it was a good pickup. And if this kid ends up being pretty good, you know, there's sort of the questions have always been, I don't know, about his level of commitment. But I feel like if you have the talent, commitment's easier to fix than having the commitment and not the talent. You know what I mean? So it makes more sense. Not make more sense, but it's I think it was a solid pickup for them. And, you know, we'll see what happens with this kid going forward. You know, it could be one of those situations where he comes out and makes a team out of training camp, but I highly doubt that being the case. You know, he'll spend maybe a season or two playing somewhere else and then come over and play for the Capitals. And it's definitely, you know, it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, I got to assume he's going to go over to Europe for a year or two and play there and then maybe come play for the Bears at some point and then maybe come up to the Capitals in what, like 4 to 5 years when Brooks Orpik gets hurt and leaves and...
Don't do it.
And then we'll bring this guy in.
Don't do it.
Then we go through the second round, and the Capitals move up. They trade up, and they get a goalie, which a lot of people were expecting this guy to kind of get traded around there. But the big news I want to talk about is in round three, I was at the arena for this one, and you're going to hear a little bit more about my experience at the draft on this one. But they acquired from the Hershey Bears Nathan Walker.
That's all weird sounding.
Yeah, and it was the first Australian to ever be drafted by the NHL. So this guy was also at Kettler. I got to see him last Christmas when he was playing up in Hershey. I got to see him a little bit. And again, the Capitals, they traded up, and then they got like two picks or whatever, 103rd, 140th or something like that. And then they traded those picks to move up to 89 to get Nathan Walker. So obviously they've been able to keep an eye on this guy. They've been able to see what he's doing in Hershey. They like what they're seeing, so they moved up and were able to acquire him. And I got to say, besides him just being in the system already and it being already weird because, you know, he was a Hershey Bear for a year already, I like this signing a lot because he already has a pro year in the U.S. He already has experience playing in the U.S. So there's a chance that if someone were to get hurt or something, he may be coming up and getting a Capitals jersey for a game or two because obviously he's impressed guys in the organization. He knows how to play with the Bears, and I got to assume because of trading up and everything else that they wanted to keep him in the system.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has an opportunity. He's got to go into Hershey and play whatever role they have for him and put the puck at the back of the net and make sure he's playing solid. And if, you know, we've seen crazier things in the past. If he can go out and play a consistently solid game for, I don't know, however long, and they have an injury or two and they decide to bring him up, you know, it could be pretty exciting to see how this kid can do. But yeah, I think it was a nice move overall to be able to go out and bring him in. Maybe they were afraid that someone else was going to go and make a run at him. And so I'm excited to see what this kid can do, especially just because he's Australian. It's kind of funny. You got this guy. I don't imagine there being all that much ice in Australia. So, you know, for this guy to be able to go as far as making it to the, you know, NHL draft and getting picked up and playing in the AHL is definitely an exciting thing for him.
Yeah, I think he said something like on the entire – in all of Australia, there's like 20 rinks, and that's it. So he went to –
Are there even 20?
He said there's like 20 rinks, but then he went to the Czech Republic when he was 13 to skate more, and he was playing over there. So, yeah, I'm excited. I want to see this guy do a little bit more. And it's not just because his name is Walker and I'm a Walking Dead fan, but I'm excited that he's staying here, and I was very happy to be a part of the fact that I was actually at the arena and I was able to sneak into where all the prospects sit, and I got to see his name get picked up.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear about that later, but it was quite an experience up in Philadelphia. It was a lot of fun. The actual draft, at least the second day, pretty boring, but they have enough stands and stuff for you to check out as a fan that you kind of get other stuff to do. But Caps Fan Fest, which is coming up in a week and a half, 2 weeks, that actually has more stuff for you to do than the draft did.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's got to get kind of boring. I don't even – you know, I remember I used to watch the first round back when the Caps were picking early just to see who got picked and all that fun stuff. But excuse me. You know, for these guys, it's definitely an exciting time. And a lot of the times the guys after the first, second round don't really make it to the NHL or even the AHL. So we'll see if McClellan does a better job with his staff, even though probably a lot of the same staff that McPhee had in a lot of their picks. It seemed like McClellan was constantly trading two picks to be able to move up to pick one. So at least we knew he had targets. And I wonder how much of this was Ross Mahoney, since he used to be the head scout before he became assistant general manager. Was he in the past telling McPhee, like, this guy's good, let's go get him, and McPhee wasn't willing to trade two picks for one? Is he looking more at quantity over quality? So we'll see what happens with some of these young guys. But I mean, the goalie they picked up, it was a very big surprise in the second round with Vitek Vanacek, I guess. I don't know how to say his name. But he's supposed to be pretty good. We'll see what happens where he ends up. And then, you know, we got the Australian back in Walker, and then they picked up a forward in Shane Gersh, right wing Steven Spinner, and a right wing in Kevin Elgestal. So they've got a couple of guys that have come back, are coming into the organization. We'll see how they do. Definitely names to keep an eye on, because you never know when a seventh round pick, sixth round pick is going to suddenly turn out to be an NHLer in the future. It all depends on how hard they work. But those weren't the only guys they actually picked up at the draft. They also made a trade in sending two picks to Winnipeg for goalie Edward Pascal. Now, he's likely going to be the backup to Grabauer in Hershey, but, you know, it's just more goalie depth in the organization.
All right.
They do have to sign Pascal, though, I should mention. I don't know if they did yet. I haven't checked up. But they picked him up with his contract ending, but he's a restricted free agent, so they still have the rights to him.
Ah, gotcha. Anything else that we need to talk about in Caps world?
Well, I think it was like the day after we actually, two things I think happened the day after we talked last week. Thanks, Caps. You always got to do that to us. They hired Lane Lambert as an assistant coach. He was formerly with the Nashville Predators. It's a big surprise he came to Washington now, seeing as who the head coach is. He will likely be responsible for the team's forwards and penalty kill. And then, I don't know if you want to talk about this now. We can cut it later if not. After losing the Reading Royals as their ECHL affiliate, the Capitals again became affiliated with the South Carolina Stingrays. Now, the commute is significantly further than it was between Hershey and Reading.
8 hours!
It's a while.
Yeah, that's a hell of a long ride.
It's a bit of a drive, but it's nice to see the team has an ECHL affiliate still with them, and that going forward, they'll have a place to put Stan Kalev as they have him go back and forth all the time.
I gotta say that I'm kind of enjoying talking with the Stingrays on Twitter. Once we found out, we kind of tweeted to them and told them that we were going to be talking about them from now on, and they were all for it. And what their PR guy said that he wants to come on and come on to What the Puck and discuss the Stingrays. So hopefully in the next couple,
are we gonna have to drive to South Carolina?
As long as we got Skype, we should be
really
fine.
That's really far.
But hey, man, maybe in like a week or two we can have him on and we can interview him about what's been going on in South Carolina and the history that this team has with them. So very excited to talk to the Stingrays and get a little bit more news about them. And very hard to find a Stingrays jersey on eBay, gotta say. So if that's it for Caps World, this is going to be kind of fun. On the way up to Philadelphia and coming back from Philadelphia, me, my buddy Barry, and his girlfriend Aubrey, we went up there and we decided we were going to record a little bit of a podcast, a little bit of a feature in the car on the way up and back. So we're going to cut to that now. And it's kind of fun, a little bit about our history with Philadelphia being so close and what we kind of thought of the draft and what we thought about seeing, you know, Nathan Walker get drafted in the third round, even though he wasn't there. So we'll cut to that, and then we'll be going up 83 to talk a little bit about the Hershey Bears and not the Reading Royals. So that's pretty much it for now. So check out this special NHL draft segment of What the Puck about the trip to Philadelphia.
What the Puck?
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, here we go. We're going up 95 for the NHL draft. Welcome back to What the Puck. Going to check out the Washington Capitals. It's rounds 2 through 7 today for the NHL draft. And joining me in the car, we got my buddy Barry and Aubrey. What's going on, guys?
Hanging out.
This is actually your second appearance on What the Puck. Or actually, is it an appearance if it's a podcast?
I'm not sure. The last time it didn't end very well.
We didn't do well in that cornhole tournament, but hey, we had a good time though.
That's true. That's true.
How's your back after you carried the team?
You know, it's still a little sore, but you know, we're icing it down. It's gonna be all right. I think you know, this car ride is gonna be all right.
Oh, yeah, this should be a lot of fun. I've never actually podcasted in the car before, but we're going up for the NHL draft. The Capitals, they're gonna probably pick around number 43. So this is not our first hockey trip. We went up to the Hershey Bears last year. We went up to the Reading Royals 2 years ago. So is this just going to be like an annual thing for us? Are we just always going to go on hockey road trips?
I like hockey road trips. I don't like summer hockey road trips because I can't wear a jersey. But I like road trips.
Road trips are always good. I mean, we're always having a good time. This is going to be my first time going anywhere for a sporting event in Philadelphia. I'm a little worried. I don't know about you, because we're all wearing Caps gear, and Flyer fans, maybe Philadelphia fans in general, are not known to be the most welcoming people.
Philadelphia fans don't like their own teams. So when opposing teams come, it's just directing the anger and dissent towards the opposite team for at least, you know, three periods.
Yeah, it's... they're not happy people. I mean, if you watch the draft last night, I mean, of course, Gary Bettman deserves it, but he got booed out of the building. You couldn't hear him in any way because the fans were so loud booing him. And, of course, he fully deserves that. But they booed every other team that came up to make their draft pick.
Well, they probably booed the Flyers, too, then.
I think the Flyers, from what I understand on Twitter, I read that the Flyers came up, made their pick, and literally everyone left after number 17 when the Flyers made their pick.
Well, yeah, they got stuff to do, man. It's Philadelphia. They got cheesesteaks to eat.
Yeah, well, are we going to do cheesesteaks while we're up here?
Of course. Maybe a soft pretzel.
And out of a cart on the side of the road? That's always my favorite kind of pretzel.
Italian ice off of a cart?
Yeah.
And I might try to Nick Cage it and steal something of importance, like the Liberty Bell.
You're going to try to take the Liberty Bell?
Yeah, with
that heavy, right?
Yeah, I think there's three of us.
I mean, Aubrey could probably, she can get like the inside
part
get of the bell.
Inside, yeah. Yeah.
You're shorter. You just walk and hold the inside.
Where's the Liberty Bell walking off to?
It's already cracked. I mean,
who wants broken stuff?
Exactly.
I mean, that should be on discount.
Exactly.
At IKEA.
There's a map inside. You have to break it open like an Easter egg.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. Have you been to Philadelphia before for any kind of sporting event, or you went up there for like history class?
I haven't been up there for history class in a long time. I've been to Philadelphia 3 times last year. I went up for 2 concerts in the basement of the First Unitarian Church. It's like an old punk rock church basement. This is weird to say, but they like have to set up a PA on scaffolding, and you can like sit under the scaffolding to watch the show.
Wow!
So I went up for 2 shows there, and I saw a Flyers game. saw the Flyers play someone last year, and I wore Capitol stuff, and they didn't like it, and I don't care.
You definitely got heckled, though.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like, they weren't playing the Caps. So, the side note for Gary Bettman, just to show that LA knows nothing about hockey, when Bettman presented the trophy, I don't know if you saw it, no one booed. So that tells you how big LA fans are into their hockey out there.
They like their team, but they don't know anything else about.
Yeah, they don't. There's no history of, you know, the Stanley Cup or Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
And the, you know.
I mean I'm happy LA won. I like those guys, but really it's just because of Jonathan Quick. I'm a huge Jonathan Quick fan, and I really think he did a great job this past season. Wish he would have walked away with a medal from Sochi. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But hey, at least he got the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, like, just like dynasties now. It's just like Chicago and LA just can flop back and forth for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Hopefully, the Capitals can give them a run for their money. That's what I'd like to see. But it's been a while since I've been up to Philadelphia. I can't remember the last time I've been there, but I used to go up there all the time for wrestling shows. You know, me and a bunch of buddies would go up there and we'd watch Ring of Honor, and we went up there for CZW, which was Combat Zone Wrestling. They're the guys that use, like, tacks and barbed wire and light tubes and that kind of stuff. And we went up there.
Family-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, bring the kids, blood and gore, get them in early. But we went up there a couple years ago. Do you remember that movie, The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
They were doing a scene at CZW, and they asked for extras, so we got to be an extra in The Wrestler.
Oh, that's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Yeah,
this is a good piggyback story. The only time I ever got to watch The Wrestler, and I never finished it, so don't tell me how it ends. We went on a bus trip, and we went up to Aubrey's first wrestling match. It was a TNA match.
Ooh, TNA.
And Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci was wrestling.
So we got to shake hands with Danny Partridge and get guitar picks because he was doing some radio show in Philly at the time. And, you know, Jeff Jarrett was there, and it was cool. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle dudes were there. They were like a tag team.
I don't know.
They were two younger black guys, tag team.
They were very nice.
Ninja Jeff Turtle stuff. Really. Yeah, they were very, very, very good guys. But, But yeah, we went up to see this TNA match, and we watched The Wrestler on the way back. But
it's depressing to watch in a car.
But the movie is longer than the bus trip, so I never got to finish the movie. So I think there's like maybe 20 minutes left. I know the chick in it, like, she looked really good for her age.
Oh, what's her name?
Is it Alyssa Milano? Is that who it was?
Oh, I can't remember now.
I don't know.
I know who you're talking about.
You were in the movie. You don't even remember.
She wasn't there, Aubrey.
Okay.
It was Randy the Ram against Necro Butcher. The stripper girl was not at the wrestling show.
She definitely wasn't naked.
Mickey Rourke, I saw him for literally 2 minutes where he came down the ramp, he sat in a chair against Necro Butcher, and they were going to have a slap battle.
A stare down.
You know? And they're like, all right, thanks a lot, Ram, and cut. And then he rolled out of the ring, and his stunt double rolled in. And we saw the stunt double just wrestle a match against Necro Butcher. And, that was cool. They went into the crowd, and that's where you get to see me a little bit in the one scene, because this kid is in a wheelchair, and he takes his fake leg off, gives it to Randy the Ram to hit Necro Butcher over the head with a fake leg. So that was kind of fun. And in the crowd, if you look closely in that scene, one of the guys from Jackass is in it. So that was his claim to fame. He does Jackass. It was an extra in The Wrestler.
Is the guy still alive?
I believe the guy that was in this is still alive. Yeah. Okay. It's not.
Ryan
Dunn.
Ryan Dunn, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that was fun. But I'm excited for the draft. I've never been up for a draft before. I've never been to the NFL, the NHL. I don't watch the NBA, so I've never really seen a draft up close. I can't imagine it being too exciting, but I kind of feel as if we've done Hershey Bear games, we've done Reading Royals. I don't know if we're going to do South Carolina Stingrays since it's so far away, but we've done Caps. I've seen the Caps in Baltimore. I feel as
which
if
you won't anymore.
You won't
probably
see it anymore. Yeah.
That's not
but
happening.
I gotta assume like this is if you're a hockey fan, you gotta go to the draft at least once just to have that experience.
What's your souvenir for the day? I think I'm looking for the 2014-15 draft puck.
I'm a puck collector, so I could probably go for a puck. I like the hats. Have you seen the hats?
I have not seen the hats.
Hats are pretty cool. It's the main logo where it's written in capitals, and then there's like white mesh, and underneath the white mesh is the Weagle.
Is it logo. Okay? So it's an actual like Washington Capitals draft hat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Each team gets their own draft hat.
Because I was expecting to see a lot of orange and black, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the draft logo is orange and black. So that'll be something, but I'll probably go for a
sorry,
puck.
Sorry, I'm from Baltimore. I can wear orange and black.
That's allowed. I'm cool with orange and black, though. I don't like the Flyers, but hey, it's still...
I don't really like anything but the food in Philly. The food and the art. The art's good.
Art's good. Food is definitely good. Do you know any other places besides, you know, Geno's and Pat's?
I don't, but I want, like... I tried to explain it to my friend whose sister lives in Philly. I want, like, you know, before the Fresh Prince moved to Bel Air, like, before he... exiled to Bel Air. I want like that brown bag grease, like towards so heavy it's gonna fall through the bottom of the bag. I want that kind of cheesesteak.
Okay. I don't know. We might be able to find that. When we used to go for wrestling matches, our buddy Phil used to live in Philadelphia, and he knew of like this one place to go, and it was just a strip of bars that would have their own kind of versions of cheesesteaks. I think the place we went to was called Ish Kabibbles.
That doesn't sound like a cheesesteak joint.
That's adorable.
Yeah, that sounds like I should buy tea and ice cream there. That's not cheesesteak. I want something that's going to... I want something that's going to make me regret my decision of eating a cheesesteak 10 minutes later. Like, I almost want to risk my life and maybe get shot at getting this cheesesteak. Because I feel like those are the best cheesesteaks.
Well, I mean, it's not like we're going on the set of The Wire. That's Baltimore. But I think Ish Kabibbles, their thing was, I think it was called a Ben Franklin, and he just had bacon on the cheesesteak as well.
Ooh.
I think that was their thing. And the guy was like, it's not that good, it's just bacon. And
what?
I was like, excuse me, sir, that's what I'm getting because bacon makes everything better.
Yeah, I've never heard bacon and not that good
it's
in the same sentence
I mean,
ever.
Come on. Who says that?
Weirdos.
I mean, I guess you could say it's not that good because it doesn't have bacon on
yeah.
it.
Right.
I don't even know what to say to that. Bacon makes everything better.
We're what are we approaching here? We're approaching Delaware at this point.
We're about to hit the Delaware Bridge.
Yeah, so we got a little bit more than an hour left, and we'll be up in Philadelphia. So I'm excited, man. This is going to be a fun hockey day in the summer.
Yeah, it's hockey in the summer.
All right, so we'll be back, and hopefully we'll be recording from inside Wells Fargo Center next 7 years. What the fuckers, we are pretty much done for this day at the draft. We're heading back to Maryland. We were hoping to record inside Wells Fargo Center, but it was kind of cool for us, but we didn't want to bring more attention to ourselves. We actually kind of snuck into where the family sit, and we got to hang out with some prospects, which was kind of unexpected. Barry, you were able to play it cool. Aubrey and I were a little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was you gotta act like you've been there before, you know? We obviously didn't have even a sports coat on.
No.
And most of them had
sandals. That's what we
did. Yeah, exactly.
Bright red cap shirt.
Yeah, all wearing our own Capitals gear.
I left my Versace dress at home, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was crazy because we were waiting for the Capitals to do their pick. The security kicked out a couple fans that were wearing Flyers gear.
Well, that's because they have Flyers gear on.
Well, I mean, we just walked up. We're like, how about we just go sit down there? And we just sat down. No one stopped us. It wasn't a big deal. We didn't think it was anything of it. So we're like, all right, we'll just hang out until the Capitals make their pick for this round. And as we're waiting, the kid right in front of us gets drafted by New York. That was crazy.
Keep right to line 95.
We're still on 95.
Obviously.
Yeah. So what did you think? What did you think of having that kid get drafted? I mean, pretty much we just watched his life completely change.
I cried. A lot.
You cried?
I did, because his mom was hugging him, and she was crying, and then he gave his little brother a handshake. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I cried.
Did you go for a hug at all?
No.
You should have. You should have been like, oh,
should've just stood up and
congratulations. You might never, ever play at the NHL level.
Oh, don't say that.
But you get to wear the jersey.
You don't know that.
Yeah, so that was interesting, and that was great to see. But we were sitting there, and we were watching Barry Trotz and the Capitals do what they were doing. And we were lucky enough that the Capitals moved up a couple spots, and we saw them pick up Nathan Walker. 95. We're getting close. We're going through Delaware right now, about to hit Maryland, so we're going through a toll. But we got to see them take up Nathan Walker, which we actually got to see him up in Hershey last season. I thought that was pretty cool to have him drafted as we're waiting there celebrating with a couple different families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't understand it fully that he played for the Hershey affiliates, obviously.
Right.
And they had to draft him. You explained it to us, but maybe you should explain it to them because it's kind of confusing.
Don't really understand.
Like he played for the Bears last year. He was, you know, two hours from you know, Verizon Center, yet he had to get drafted still to be a Capital.
From what I understand, it's due to the fact that he's Australian, because, thank you, because of his age and where he's from, they couldn't just pick this guy up out of nowhere. They invited him to training camp. He played in a couple preseason games with the Capitals. He obviously impressed them. So they invited him to play at the AHL level, which I guess doesn't have as many restrictions on like where you're from if you're playing. But due to his age and due to where he's from, he had to go through the draft to get to the NHL level. So there was a chance that another team could pick him up. But the Capitals obviously like this kid because they like what they saw from Hershey, because they traded up a few spots to get him to stay in the organization.
It was like 14 spots or something like that, right?
Yeah, they were at like 103 and they moved up to what, 89,
yeah.
I believe?
90 or so, yeah.
So he got drafted there. Personally, he's another offensive guy, which we're already kind of stacked up there on the Capital level. We might see him in Hershey again, but at least now there's a chance of him either making maybe an opening night roster or coming up if someone were to get hurt.
Yeah, like.
I mean, you've got to expect that like is probably going to get hurt, and we might see Walker up here. I just like him for his name. I want to get a Walker jersey and wear it during The Walking Dead.
Can we call him like Dr. Walker, because he went through such like, you know, extensive levels to, you know, it's like 8 years
of...
he's
got like his doctorate in
yeah, he's got like
the
his
NHL
doctorate
draft.
In hockey.
He's got a master's in stick handling is what he's got. That's got to be pretty cool, though. Think about this. He has the potential of being the very first Australian-born NHL player.
Like, how many people come from Australia?
He would be the first guy to make it. That's
really
pretty cool.
That is really cool. I just can't think of them playing hockey in Australia.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you'd think they'd be a little bit warmer weather, that they, you know, have sports probably, you know, big into soccer and stuff like that. But no, he's a hockey guy. Do you remember when we saw him up in Hershey? They made sure that they talked about him being Australian, because they did like a season's greetings or whatever. And of course, he had to add in a mate at the end of his.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to what they're going to do with this kid. If anything, we know we're not going to see a lot of these players this year. I think he's maybe the only guy that has potential of wearing a Caps jersey this year.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense since he's been in the Hershey.
Yeah, he's already got a pro year underneath his belt. That's great.
And the fact that he's not 17 helps also.
Older guys.
I mean, Connor Carrick played in World Juniors last year, and then he finished out the season with the Capitals on the defense. So, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to see some Walker up in D.C.
Hopefully he's a skater.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he could come out with some Vans or Chuck Taylors or whatever and maybe just run around the ice. Who knows? So what did you guys think of the whole draft experience?
I personally, you know, it was cool. I mean, I'm sure the first round would have been a little more fun and exhilarating, I guess. But it's really tough to not know, unless you're following, like, the World Juniors and all these little high school teams minor level hockey. It's kind of, you know, it's fun to get excited for your team. The Philly fans went nuts. I had never heard of the guy they got in the third round, but they went nuts for him. And I guess that's what it's about. It's about your team growing, and you never know. Like, we were walking through the concourse about, you know, we saw a guy in an Islanders jersey, I believe, who had been drafted. And you know, he could be Crosby or Kane or, you know, Jonathan Quick, or he could be any of the next top level stars, and you just don't know. But it's, you know, it's something you should try once, especially, you know, free tickets, get in. You know, it's cool to walk around. You got a nice little pin and commemorative puck. You know, it's It was an experience. It was cool.
Yeah, you know, there were people with trading cards, if you're into that, people selling jerseys, all that kind of cool stuff. But the greatest part, at least fan-wise, besides just watching the draft, is we got to get a picture with the Stanley Cup. That was pretty great.
That was cool.
I know we just saw a bread truck almost topple over here on 95 South. free toast for everybody. But that we were talking, since we're fans, are we allowed to touch the Stanley Cup? I didn't.
I touched the base because it was a tour cup. I don't really care. It had a lot of dents in it.
You're like, look at these dents.
It had like a lot of scratches. It was obviously not the pristine, you know, Lord Stanley's cup. But it's cool. I mean, I get it.
Is that cup pristine?
I'm sure it is. Well,
all the stuff they do.
I'm sure it's been through some stuff, but
I guess they take care of it.
I'm not superstitious like that. You know, I made a joke about Ovi's plus minus numbers. You know, I can't go out there and make him skate back to play defense.
Still, though.
You know, it's.
I'm not tempting hockey fate.
Yeah, don't touch the President's Trophy when you win it. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm not touching the Stanley Cup as a fan. I will get my picture next to it.
Yeah, I leaned in.
But I'm not touching.
Well, next time I get in the position to where I, you know, I won the President's Trophy, I'll make sure that I don't touch it.
Okay. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed draft day, and I hope the draft comes to DC sometime. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But I think the NHL knows what they're doing here, and it was crazy on the second day just how quick they were going through all those picks.
Yeah, it really
was. Yeah, 3 minute fast. Clock, and it's like. Like they'd be like, all right, Columbus, we're on the clock. Okay, Columbus, with your pick. And, you know, 30 seconds later, they have their pick.
Not even 30 seconds.
Yeah, like we walked in and we got to the draft a little late because of 495 mix-up. And
it's closed, apparently.
Yeah. Don't
after three circles on it, yeah.
Wilmington is beautiful, though.
Yeah, wow. We saw every piece of Wilmington, I believe.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got in there and we're like, oh, Stanley Cup, let's wait in line. You know, we picked 43. That's at least a half an hour. And, like, we ended up trading up and missing it anyway. but yeah, we would have missed it anyway. It was it was a fast moving draft.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy that we got to see Nathan Walker. We at least know some of the history with him already. It wasn't like these guys that you really don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I like him cuz he's Australian.
Yeah?
Me
He'll
too.
Probably have a hot Australian girlfriend.
I would only assume.
Maybe, you don't know.
But I guess that's pretty much it for draft talk. Let's talk a little bit about Philly. We got to check out some other stuff. You found a cheesesteak place you wanted to try, and we checked it. What was it, Sonny's?
It was called Sonny's Cheesesteaks and
Hamburgers.
And Hamburgers.
Something like that.
You know, 100% Angus hamburgers and all that good stuff. We walked in. It was a good sign when you walk in, and the guy's
line.
Like slicing meat, you know, right in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was big, thick cuts of, like, actual, you know, good meat.
I've done Pat's, I've done Gino's. I gotta say, this was one of my favorites. I think they might actually beat maybe Gino's because it wasn't really that greasy. It was, I mean, great bread. It was very fresh. They added bacon to mine. And
bacon makes everything better.
Yeah, and onion rings and that kind of stuff. I really liked it, and it was a good sign because we got there a little bit early before lunchtime, and there was a line. By the time we left, it was wrapped around the building going down the street.
Yeah, there was maybe like 7 or 8 people in front of us when we got there, and that's a good sign. But we went to leave, you know, 45 minutes later, it was at least 30 people deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. That might be one of my new stops to make when I come up to Philadelphia. But all in all, I want to say this was a pretty good day trip.
Yeah.
We saw my statue, Commander Barry, the father
Commander
of the Navy.
Barry.
And we got your picture with it.
I did.
We saw a Benjamin Franklin impersonator.
I liked his socks.
He was pretty cool.
They do have great socks back in the day, didn't
they? Yeah, right? They're really like hockey socks.
Yeah.
All like full leg socks.
Britches. Right. Britches to the knees.
Britches. That's what they were. Britches.
Britches.
Guys, thanks a lot for driving up with me. And
you're welcome.
Enjoying the
thanks
NHL
for driving.
Draft. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This was a lot of fun. Now let's go back to our normally scheduled What the Puck program. All right, here we go. We're up 83. We're ready to talk about some Hershey Bears. Coach Dan, they've been a little bit busy the last couple days. What's been going on with the Hershey Bears?
Recently, they named Troy Mann to be the team's next head coach. Brian Helmer was also hired to be an assistant coach. Now, Mann was the assistant coach with the Bears from 2009 until 2013, and last season was the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors of the ECHL. Now, if that name Helmer sounds familiar, it's because he played for the Caps during the 2008-2009 season, as well as he's played many games for the Hershey Bears. So that's all the big news going on up in Hershey.
I think the Condors, weren't they the ones that had the a condor on ice and the guy that was handling the bird tripped and the bird fell and attacked a bunch of the hockey players?
I have no idea, but that sounds awesome.
I'll find that video and I'll send it to you later.
It's, yeah, because that sounds incredibly silly.
It's really funny. I even think it was on The Soup. All right, so that was quick stuff up in Hershey. They're getting ready for the season. Can't wait for that. But, of course, with free agency happening, there's plenty going on around the NHL. All right, Coach Dan, we made a lot of trades. We got some new guys here in the Capital system. We already talked about Grabowski going to the Islanders. But, of course, every other team's been very, very, very busy. So what has been going on around the NHL?
Yeah, you can definitely say lots of crazy things have happened before free agency started and, of course, during. Now, we're not going to go over every single one because the podcast will be like 4 hours long. So I'll touch on a couple of the biggest trades and signings over the past couple of days. The biggest one has to be that Jason Spezza, the captain of the Ottawa Senators, was traded to Dallas for Alex Chiasson, Alex Guptill, Nicholas Paul, and a second-round pick in 2015. Now, that's a cool name, by the way, Ludwig. Ludwig Carlson also went to Dallas, but that's a pretty big Jason. But Dallas is no joke. You're going to hear later on the other couple other guys they signed. Like, Dallas is going to be for real this season. Vancouver sent Ryan Kesler and a third in 2015 to Anaheim for a first and a third in the previously mentioned 2014 NHL draft, as well as Lucas Spezza and Nick Bonino. So it sounds like big name guys were getting moved left and right here. Pittsburgh sent James Neal to Nashville for Patrick Hornquist and Nick Spaulding. And Danny Briere was sent from Montreal to Colorado for P.A. Parento and a fifth in 2015. Those are a couple of the biggest trades that went down just before free agency opened. There was also the one with Sam Gagner where he was traded from Edmonton to Tampa Bay. And then within like 45 minutes or 90 minutes, he then got traded from Tampa Bay to Arizona. I also forgot that the Phoenix Coyotes are now known as the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Until that trade. I went, who's Arizona? Oh, yeah. We have to call them Arizona now. It's a little weird, but we'll get used to it. Now, a couple of the biggest deals that went down during the craziness, that was day one and I believe a little bit of day two. First, Christian Ehrhoff signed with Pittsburgh for 1 year at $4 million. A good deal for them. Paul Stastny went to St. Louis 4 years with a cap hit of $7 million. That is a lot of money for Paul Stastny. Mike Camilleri went to New Jersey for 5 years at $25 million. Ryan Miller went to Vancouver. That's a good deal for them. 3 years at $18 million. Alex Hemsky went to Dallas. I'm telling you, Dallas is not to mess with this upcoming season. They're going to be very good. 3 years at $12 million. Brian Giana went to Buffalo for 3 years at $12.75 million. Buffalo's an intriguing prospect to watch this season. You'll see why in a moment. Jonas Hiller to Calgary for 2 years at $9 million. Tomas Vanek went to Minnesota for 3 years at $19.5 million. So now you got Vanek and Parise together. That should be interesting to watch. Matt Molson also went to Buffalo for 5 years at $25 million. Jerome Iginla went to Colorado, surprisingly. I kind of thought he may go back to Calgary. He went to Colorado for 3 years at $16 million. And finally, in what I think is the steal of the day, Brad Richards, formerly of the New York Rangers before being bought out, he went to Chicago for only 1 year at $2 million. Which is a very good deal for Chicago. Those are some of the biggest moves and trades in the NHL.
Wow, that's very busy. Very busy season there. So, yeah, that's some pretty good stuff. The Capitals, they're going to have their work cut out for them this upcoming season. So a lot of new guys, a lot of moves. A lot of moves. So I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Of course, you can listen to us absolutely for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. If you want to talk more about the Washington Capitals or hockey in general or about anything at all you can think about, let us know. We are on Twitter. Follow me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTBCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
right. Go to BrandoCash.com. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows produced by Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. I posted pictures from the NHL draft up there, so you can check out some of our photos that we took up in Philadelphia. You can check out our other podcast as well. There's plenty of stuff, and make sure you like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP podcast, and follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast, and you'll get information about this show. And whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. You will be in the know, which is pretty cool. Now, this show is done completely for free. This is called a passion project, and we give you the show for free. You don't pay a thing to download it, and we like to think that we're not that bad. So let people know, and that's the only way that you can really help us. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Let people know you're a Washington Capitals fan, you like What the Puck, and they should listen too. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Who knows what we'll be doing next week? Well, we do have the Caps Fan Fest coming up. Developmental Camp starts on the 9th and then ends up on the 12th when we're going to be there next Saturday. So if we don't do a show next week, make sure you stop by and say hi to Dan or get a selfie with us. Let people know on social media that you like What the Puck. Hopefully you'll run into us there. It's always a fun time at Caps Fan Fest. But hey, we got new Caps. New, and we got some old Caps that are new as well. But hey, we're still having a good time. It's still summertime. The Cap season is coming closer, and we are saying, let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Caps make some big moves. They also draft a Walker that we also want to be at. Nah, that sucked.
No.
Nope. That was terrible.